Good morning. Today's scripture is Psalm 122, a song of the ascents of David. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem as a city which is bound firmly together, to which the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, as we decreed from Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. Their thrones for judgment were set, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Peace be within your walls and the security within your towers. For my brethren and companions' sake, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Sherry. This morning, because it's National Back to Church Sunday, we're doing it a week early to tie in, like I said, with the deacons. So I've got something a little bit different for you from what's my normal style. So hope you enjoy it. If you don't, you can say, hey, go back to what you used to do. So, or if you like this better, say, hey, you need to learn to preach better. I recently heard about two college grads who hadn't seen each other for years. They'd gone to school together, graduated, gotten jobs, gotten married, and then went their separate ways. When they bumped into each other at a business conference, they decided to catch up on old times at the lobby of the hotel. They talked and talked and talked like old friends until the night. Every once in a while, one of them would say, "You know, we really ought to go upstairs to our wives." Then they would start talking again. And next thing you knew, they had completely lost track of time, and it was after 2 a.m. in the morning. The next afternoon when they saw each other, one of them asked, "Well, how did it go with your wife last night? Was she angry? Was she mad? How did it go?" The other one said, "Well, as soon as I opened the door, she got historical on me." And he looked at him and said, "Historical? I think you mean hysterical." He said, "No, I mean historical. She told me for the rest of the night everything I had done wrong in my entire life." Well, this morning is historical, not hysterical, but we're not going to talk about everything you've done wrong in your life. We're going to look a little into the history of this psalm. I want to propose a revolutionary thought to you this morning. Sunday was meant to be the best day of the week for you and for your family. Many of us grew up in situations where Sunday was a very boring event, or Sunday was a rat race. Some of us grew up in homes where Sunday was just another day, didn't even matter. Others grew up in homes where Sunday was a disappointment because it was supposed to be a family day, or a day when nothing happened because the family never did anything together. Or the wrong thing happened, like you ended up having to do yard work with your dad or chores with your mom. Others of us grew up in homes where Sunday was full of conflict because church was a mandatory event. And no one was ever ready, though, to leave on time to get to church. So the whole family competed for maybe the one bathroom in the house, bumped into each other, scrambling for breakfast in the kitchen, woofing down our food, bolting out the door, and arguing all the way till we get to the church parking lot. And then somehow we're miraculously healed and our attitude changed because other people are going to see us. Well, I have good news for you today. Sundays were never meant to be that way. Sundays were meant to be for you. Jesus said the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Today we live in a world where the pace of life, a fast pace, is killing us. And I want to suggest to you today that Sunday is a solution for the fast pace of your life. It feels like we always have too much to do. And God said that Sunday is the antidote for that. It seems like we always feel pressured. God made Sundays as a relief for that. We rarely have time for the really important things, and God thinks Sundays will take care of that. There's never enough time for family, never enough time for friends, or never enough time for the rest that we need from everything that we've been doing through the week. And God designed Sundays for that. With so much going on in our world, it's easy to lose sight of what really matters. God says Sundays are the cure for that. One time somebody invited King David, who wrote this psalm, to attend church with them. I know it wasn't called church then, but just go with me. David's response is recorded here in Psalm 122. So listen to this again. I rejoiced with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. David, does that sound like someone that is turned off by church? I rejoice. David got excited when he was invited to church. Why was David fired up about the things that so many of us are turned off about in society today? David can't wait to get there. What does he know that our society does not seem to know or care about? David says, I rejoice with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. He's happy that he's going to church. And that's the way that we should be every Sunday. Verses 2 through 3, our feet are standing in your gates, Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built like a city that is closely compacted together. He's describing the physical situation here. He's inside the city of Jerusalem. It's densely packed with the population. There's a crowd gathering. Verse 4, that is where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to praise the name of the Lord according to the statute given to Israel. He's describing what the people are doing. They're going up to worship God at the temple. And there are lots of them, tribes of them. The different tribes of Israel are gathering together to worship. They're going to give God glory because God told them that they need to come into his house. One of the statutes, one of the laws that he gave to them. Verse 5 says, there stands the thrones for judgment, the thrones of the house of David. He's describing the physical environment there. What is within this temple? What is within the church? By the end of verse 5, David is through describing what he's seeing, and it begins to change. In verse 6, he turns to what he's thinking about. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May those who love you be secure. Why does he want that? Because he cares about the people that he is worshiping with. He loves them. 7 and 8. May there be peace within your walls and security within your citadels or towers. For the sake of my family and friends, I will say, peace be within you. God, I want to keep your people and my people safe. I want you to bring them peace whenever they get together. And even when they're not together, I want them to have peace because they have come into your house and they have worshiped you. I want this for my family. I want this for my friends. I want this for the tribes of Israel. Verse 9, the last one says, for the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your prosperity. God, I'm going to seek your prosperity because I love your temple. I love your church. I love your people. And most of all, God, I love you. In this psalm, David gives great reasons to attend church. He wanted to go to church because he liked being with God's people. I think that's important. And he wanted to honor God, to praise God. He wanted to go to church to praise the name of the Lord. And he wanted to do what God asked him to do, to worship with God's people. And we're asked in the Old Testament and the New Testament to gather together for worship and praise. I want to tell you why I want there to be people in church and prosperity in the house of God. And why I want Sunday to become the best day of the week for you. Not Friday, not Saturday, not Wednesday, but Sunday. and why I want every one of you to experience great Sundays every week. Once upon a time in our country, everything stopped on a Sunday. Some of you remember that. Some of you don't really understand what I'm talking about. But people went to church, and they worshiped together. They fellowshiped together. They ate together. It's what you did. It was a part of your life. Hung out together, rested, and recreated together, had recreation together after church. Sunday was not an extra day to get things done. Sunday was a day for rest, a day for worship. I think people had a greater sense of peace in those days. I think that our pace of life all week long is way too hectic for us, that we need to slow down the pace of our lives. And we need the three R's. We need to be rested, refueled, and refocused on what really matters in life. And you have to make that decision for your life. What really, really matters. If you plot the percentage of our nation's church attendance year by year, it has steadily been going down. This church at one time was fully packed, cars lined up down the street, people attending church. You'll notice that it's been going down for the past few decades. Attendance, not just in this church, but most churches. Now, plot the percentage of societal happiness and prosperity over this same length of time. The higher the church attendance, the higher the level of happiness. And why is that? It's because there's something you can't see, touch, smell, or taste about church attendance that makes it the most powerful investment of your week, the most important thing that you can do. Something about being in church makes us better and qualifies us for special blessings and provisions from God. Once upon a time, Sunday was the best day of the week for almost everybody, and life was better for everybody. I want that again for our country. I want that again for you. Way back in the beginning of time, the Bible says that God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis 2 says, by the seventh day, God had finished the work that he was doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all the work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from the work of creating. Now, says God rested. Do you really think God needed to rest? I mean, I can't see God going into his bedroom, getting fluffing up his pillow and taking a nap. I just don't envision that. The reason God rested on the seventh day, because he wanted us to rest. And he was trying to set that example that everyone needs a day of rest. And he wanted us to see how important it was for us to take time off from the busyness of life. And don't get caught up in whether it was literal 6 days or 7 days. Don't worry about that. Then when God gave the Ten Commandments to Moses, his fourth commandment was, remember the Sabbath by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to you, to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that was in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. I want to give you some reasons why I want each of us to invest in a Sabbath every week. Because I need it. You need it. God doesn't want to flatten your fun or lessen your life by taking a day away from you. He wants to increase your joy and improve your life by giving you a day to refresh, refuel, and refocus with him, because he knows that you need it. God asks me to take a Sabbath. The fourth commandment says, keep the Sabbath day holy. God blessed the Sabbath. God says that He blessed the Sabbath as a special day. Again, not an extra day. When we cooperate with what God blesses, we get blessed. My life goes better when I Sabbath. So many of us think that if we can get ahead faster, we are productive. We need to go, 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 7 days a week. But that's not how God made the universe. You realize the most prosperous fast food chain in the world is Chick-fil-A. And they are not open on Sundays. Now, they're the most prosperous per location. They may not have as many restaurants as McDonald's or Burger King, but per location, they make more money. Chick-fil-A is closed on Sundays because the owners know that if they honor the Sabbath, God will honor their business. So they make more money in 6 days a week than McDonald's and Taco Bell and Burger King do in 7 per store. And here's some of the statistics that I think you'll find interesting. Secular sociologists, those outside of the church, have studied the benefits of church attendance and what they found about regular church attendance. I'm going to give you a few. Attending church, you live 7.5 years longer on average. And yet some people say they don't have time for church. Are 56% more likely to have an optimistic life outlook than those who do not attend church on a regular basis. Are 27% less likely to be depressed, achieve higher grades, practice better time management, and even experience a better sex life. The studies are pretty clear. Life goes better for those who go to church on a regular basis. Another reason I want to take a Sabbath every Sunday is because my Mondays go better when I Sabbath on Sunday. Does anyone here dread Monday? You're already dreading it. You don't want to go back. We get up out of bed on Monday morning and say something, I'll clean this up. Rats. I gotta go to work today. And why do we do that? Because we are exhausted. We are unmotivated because we used up our energy during the week, and even we used all of our energy on Sunday instead of receiving new energy from Sunday. We flip-flopped. If your Sunday is lived the way it was intended, I believe that your Monday will even go better. Families do better when they Sabbath. It really is true that the family that rests together does best together. Great families become great by building great memories together. And if you develop the habit of attending church together, you will build a database of memories that will last a lifetime, that you worship together, you fellowship together, and your life was better together. I read about a man who said, one day I heard God whisper to me, I love Sundays because that's the day when my children sing to me. I like that. Can you imagine how you would feel if you created a planet for people, gave them all these beautiful things, helped them all week long, and then they spend a little bit of time on Sabbath morning thanking you for what you have done for them? Wouldn't that make you feel good and happy? Friends, I believe that God loves Sundays, and God wants you to love Sundays too. Psalm 100 in verse 4 that we read says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. How can we do that? What can you do to look forward to coming to church each and every week? Well, first of all, I think you have to decide to let Sunday be the best day of your life. You have to make that conscious decision. For your life to improve, you have to make a decision to let it improve. You make the decision and God will make the difference in your life. Decide to start coming to church on a regular basis. Decide to make a commitment to it. Decide to get involved. Number two, invest in your Sundays. Church is no different than anything else. To get something great out of it, you have to put something great into it. The Bible says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So start investing your heart in church and worship. Next, take the next step, whatever that next step is for you and your family. Years ago, a church sociologist did a study of satisfied church members and discovered that they had six things in common. They attended church regularly. They have a place they serve somewhere within the church. They develop at least six friendships with the members of any said church. They call the church my church. They give consistently to the church, their time, their energy, their monies. They invite others to church. If you're new, pick number one and start coming to church on a regular basis. If not here, then somewhere else. If you're already doing that, pick one of the other actions you're not doing and start doing that. Take the next step, whatever that is. And the most beautiful word sometimes for a congregation to hear. In conclusion, a few years ago, Craig Morton sang a song called "That's What I Love About Sundays." And here's one of the verses. "That's what I love about Sunday. Sing along as the choir sways every verse of Amazing Grace. And then we shake the preacher's hand. Go home, get into your blue jeans. Have some chicken and some baked beans. Pick a backyard football team. Not do much of anything. That's what I love about Sundays." That song speaks to me. I hope it speaks to you. I want that kind of day which leads to a great kind of life. And I want that for you. And God wants it for you. So, I'll see you next Sunday. God bless you.